tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Sons of Anarchy fans. We're into the third episode of the final season. I'm your host tonight, Kevin Undergaro. And it is with deep regrets that I do not have Stephen Lemieux and Maddie Lieberman with me, or Chris Lee Kennedy. I'm rogue, Marissa. I'm going rogue. But I have to say, I am so pleased, and I hope you are too, to be joined by AfterBuzz TV super fan Michael August, who helps me out and most of us out on our catches, the things we miss, particularly Boardwalk Empire, and I know Mad Men. But Mike, you're there, and I know I got you into Sons of Anarchy just last season, but you caught up pretty fast, and like the rest of us, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak, the Sutter Kool-Aid, so to speak. What did you think about tonight's episode?
This is another excellent episode. More double crossing. It makes it really hard to like Jack.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And the first episode, and I apologize, the first episode, my energy was really low. I was exhausted, and I was shocked by what I saw. And then a lot of the fans, and we have such great fans here, because even when they call us out, they do it in such a great way. And a lot of them really alerted me to the fact that Jax has lost everything, you know, his other than his two children, but to lose Tara in such a brutal and violent way. And if you can look at his pattern of thinking, the fact that he believes the love of his life was killed brutally, she who was relatively innocent and a doctor who helped and saved a lot of lives, for her to die in that way at the hands of his enemies, so he believes, you can see why he would be totally unhinged. And therefore, he at least has our empathy, or I believe should have our empathy. What do you think about that, Mike?
He does have my empathy, but I mean, like I said, he is a monster. Right
okay,
now.
But
he's lost.
He is. He's lost. But let's look at the pathos. From his perspective, he lost the love of his life brutally, unjustly, and he believes at the hands of, you know, the Chinese. So we can at least see where you at least understand why he's unhinged right now.
Yep.
You know, so anyway, and that was something that our fans had pointed out, and I thank you very much. And to our fans, I apologize that I'm the only one here, and I just ask you to just bear with us this week. We will do our very best, and I promise the whole team will be back next week. Matt Lieberman had the series finale of Under the Dome, and Stephen had something on his calendar that I don't want to give his private information out, but it was really important, and he did his best to get out of it. I told him not to, and that we would hold the fort down for him. And again, deep regrets and severe apologies. But let's get into this. I want to talk about some of the lighter stuff, Mike. I remember the days where the show had these lighter moments where they actually had some fun. And so now we see it. It's fewer and far between. And for obvious reasons, we're accelerating toward the end. And I expect we're going to see less and less of the lightness. But what'd you think of Lila's directorial debut with her monster porn?
I thought that was interesting that the episode opened like that, you know, the Bride of Frankenstein set, and the episode is called Playing with Monsters. I thought that was clever.
Right.
And it was also, I thought it as a step towards them getting away from guns and going legit.
On the surface, yes. But what was, you're into the subtext like me. What was the subtext of that? Or was there any? Was there any?
Well, I mean,
she looked. I mean, I'll say this: she looked a lot like Gemma, didn't she? Was there any, at least a physical resemblance?
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Right, it was a little bit of a physical resemblance to Gemma with the hair, and just saying, you know. And again, might be Kurt Sutter just having fun with his wife, might have no correlation whatsoever. But
and there was a location called Sutter in this episode too.
Where was that?
I think it was near the end of the episode where they said it was on the corner of Sutter.
Oh, interesting. And again, might just be him having fun. But
right.
It is showing them going legit, and the guys are laid back, and they're having some fun with this. But to me, the subtext, it has to deal with monsters. And it's in the title. We know the story of Frankenstein, where Dr. Frankenstein had this dream, and it started out with good intentions, you know, to build the Frankenstein monster. And then he builds this monster.
Right, and then later in the episode, Gemma was reading the book to Abel, and she said, not afraid of monsters. Monsters are my friends. That was interesting.
And, you know, and so what did you make of that?
That had to be referring to you know, her actions of killing Tara and also justifying what Jack is doing.
Right.
Because then, you know, the son asked, is my daddy a good man? And she says, yes, your dad's a good man.
Right. And by the way, I would say great actor as a kid, but I think he's so too young to even know he's acting maybe. So I would give credit to the director on that because I thought it was just his look and his reaction was pretty powerful.
I agree.
And man, it's just like what Gemma has reaped with this, with anyway, but we'll get into that. We, to get a little bit, and another lighter moment, I thought it was kind of funny when Chucky said, I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah, Rain Man.
Right, a little Rain Man throw out. I thought that was kind of funny. peeling some layers away, let's talk about Jerry and Bobby. And more specifically, Jerry, his relationship to, I don't know if I wrote down the name of the kid. Jib, was it with a G?
I think it was an Irish name. It was
Jib O'Leary.
Yeah.
Jib O'Leary.
Yeah, that's right, Jib O'Leary.
What is that relationship? Are we talking? Is it a father son thing? Is it more than that?
Somebody is holding the kid's dog tags. So maybe they were either in the, you know,
I mean,
maybe
yes,
they're in the Marines together.
I meant symbolically father son, right? Did they serve together? That's what it seems like, right? I mean, but then again, I don't know. No, probably wouldn't have served together because Jerry's probably a long standing member of the club, unless.
And when he was grieving, he was holding him like a son. I thought at the end of the last episode.
Yep, and he was holding him like a son. It wasn't like you never know with Sutter. It wasn't a gay thing, right? It was more...
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And when Bobby calls up trying to pry information, the way Jerry responded, he knows, it seems, he knows what's up. And, you know, Jax is so neatly handled. So far, he's cooking along, handling all his business. You know, wiping out this one, wiping out that one, playing this one against that one. And, you know, it's going, if you're Jax from his, again, from his perspective, it's going pretty well, right? I mean,
I would say so.
I mean, from his perspective, for whatever game he's playing, he's winning all of these battles. And I can't help but think, you never know, it could just be someone like a Jerry who could be the one to unhinge the whole plan out of nowhere.
Yep. And there might be the subtext there, judge, jury, and executioner.
Mike, that's why I love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. Perfect. You're right. Never thought of that.
And then one more thing, and then we had a Custer reference in this episode.
Yes! Oh, my goodness, Borowski.
By the Indian Sea Cross and Jack's Cross jury, who is from Indian Hills.
Right. So, and we get the Custer reference. And furthermore, God, I can't help with the blonde hair and the beard. Is Jax R. Custer?
Yep.
He is?
I agree. I think so.
And leading everybody into the slaughter. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, man, they're dropping some crazy hints. Let's talk about Brooke, Wendy, and Rat Boy. And even backing up a little further, Gemma and Sandy and the birds. And we'll talk about Gemma and Sandy, the dad, the fight, and the ending later. But I thought it was very interesting when the little birds, the little baby, smaller birds were there. And Gemma says, oh, the big birds would just kill them. My birds would kill them, blah, blah, blah. And Sandy says, I'll take them.
Yep.
And I can't help but think that this, along with Rat Boy and Brooke getting together, if we're not looking at the new generation or what could be the new generation of the club. Now, somebody may stop history from repeating himself, and I don't know where this is going to go. But it felt like when Sandy took the little birds, mm-hmm. and with Brooke and Rat Boy getting together, and Wendy's kind of lecturing her, don't go down that road, it just feels like a little bit of a setup for the next generation. Now, that may all come to a crashing halt by the end. I'm not saying that he's setting this up for future shows or anything like that, but I felt like that was just a little indication of this, the club or the virus, however you want to look at it, spreading and going on.
And then Gemma says, she says the birds were African crows and they'd be shredded by cats. So that was kind of interesting what she
right.
said there.
So Africa, we're talking with, you know, could be African-Americans, right? Which is, this whole episode was, you know, right
from Niners of the Grim Bastards.
That's right. And the opening, you know, before we got the show open, what was Jax's last line? Was something like, it was something about, it's all about the black, or something about this day's going to be black, or something like that. You know, and it's a black it's a black day, and then they went to the show open.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just saw that as just a little bit of symbolism for what could be the future. And it was interesting that Wendy admits she's still in love with Jax. Not a surprise to me. You know, she's like, I know I can't be with him, but she still loves him. And that didn't surprise me. In talking about, of course, the most tragic character, I think, on all, well, I shouldn't say the most, God, they're all tragic, Juice. What do you think of Juicy?
I like that he looked at himself in the mirror and then he covered up his cut. And in the other scene with Chibs, he had the black hat on with no symbol on it. I mean, the symbolism there, this is a kid, you know, with no family anymore. And he's ashamed of what he's become, covering up the cut. Right. But it's still the only thing he loves. That's sad there.
Right. And, you know, that, and again, why I say they're all, most of these characters are tragic. He seems especially tragic because he loves the club so much and he keeps trying to do the right thing and, you know, being loyal and aligning himself with different parties. We saw him do it with Clay. And then with Jax, and now, of course, with Gemma. And it's, you know, you're saying to yourself as a fan, right, just get out of town. Please just drive and keep driving. But
and then Juice is trying to earn the way back. You think that's going to be him going to Jax and coming clean about, you know, that Gemma is the one that killed Tara?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? You know what? That's very interesting you brought that up. As a writer, they've got to find a vehicle to reveal that to Jax at some point. I think at some point he finds out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think very few people would disagree with that. And it's interesting you say that because Juicy could be the most logical vehicle because Gemma's, I mean, I don't know, maybe unless she's on her deathbed she admits it. Why would she admit that? Right? Yep. So it's like, that could be his way back in or his, you know, so. With him, but with that figure, it seems, I almost feel like he'd be happy to die, but then say that to Jax before death, because I think he'd almost want to go into death as a son.
Yep.
Do you agree with that? Like, I think he'd be happier dying a son than living with nobody.
I totally agree with that.
And so it's great that you said that, because, you know, he may be the one. He may be the one. Man, it's interesting. How, by the way, how great is Chibs? Even his posture, his mannerisms. I'm just the way he walks. You notice just how much he carries it as a veteran biker ass kicker. Whereas Bobby carries it as the old kind of hog driving biker. But Chibs, it's just, man, his posture, everything. That's a guy I would love to interview. I'd love to speak to at some point. But his just meeting with Juicy, it was amazing. I feel like if it was Jax, he wouldn't have killed him as quickly, because he would have gotten more information out of him.
Yeah, and then earlier in the episode, Jax says you need to weed out the nervous one.
And so Juicy being one of the nervous ones, right?
Yeah, it has to be subtext for Juice.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And then Unser says he's lost, and then she says, I know, that's why he has to go away.
Let's talk about Unser. What's your take on him?
Well, this week, I mean, they revealed that there's a new sheriff in town, but I still see Unser as the protector of Charmy.
Okay, so I was a little bit thrown by Althea or Allie.
Yep.
And her corrupt ways. Or is she playing them, or is she corrupt? I feel like she's corrupt. What do you think?
Because she says, what did she say? Make this profitable for all of us?
Safe and profitable for all of us. But is she doing that to bait them into something bigger? I thought that, and now I don't know. I don't think so. I think that she's just legit just, let's make a few bucks and, I don't know, keep things moving along.
Her name is Althea, and the Greek meaning of Althea is pure or healer.
Okay.
I don't know how
could be a subtle joke, in an irony, or in the end, she could prove to be something else. Like she's baiting them all.
Yep.
What do you think? No idea?
I don't think she's as honest as Roosevelt was.
Right. He was, well, true, but when you say honest, meaning honest in the day-to-day or honest in the long run? Like, she can lie in the day-to-day, but lying to serve her needs as an honest cop. Like having to play the game to get what she wants. Is she doing that? Or
kind of like a Borowski?
No, because Borowski's definitely corrupt. No, right. I'm saying, the way Jax is playing this chess game, is she also playing a chess game and baiting them? Taking money and this, that, and the other thing? Or is she a corrupt cop? We're being led to believe she's a corrupt cop. I feel like she is, but it's too early to tell. We don't know if she's baiting them, gaining their trust to get in there and then, you know, do something else, because, again, that's interesting. Althea is Greek for pure. Very interesting. But it could mean nothing. It could just be ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, though. And we see she's taking a bullet. We see a connection with her and Chibs. And Chibs like, look, there's more money where this came from. And you're right. Now it's almost like Unser is Charming's last equalizer or protector. And it's interesting. Do you think Unser's going to be the one to bring down Jax? Or is it just going to be Unser's going to just solve the Terror murder, like he's saying?
And she's kind of flirting with Chibs, too.
She is.
They're comparing the war wounds, and then she says, call me Allie.
Yeah, no. I'm seeing that. I don't know if she's baiting him or not. And I'm not, I don't know. But I think you're onto something with Unser really being the symbolic sheriff in a sense. But is Unser's end goal to help Tara, you know, free Tara in some way by solving the crime? Or is it his greater goal to make a safer, better world for the next generation? Cain, Abel, Sandy, Brooke.
Just that he wants to make things right with Tara. Because you remember in the season premiere, one of the images in the opening montage was him at Tara's grave.
Right. Right. So that's it. So maybe that, and he, you know, he said it tonight, so I guess we should just believe him. He, you know, he said, hey, I just, so he's not interested in sinking the club. He's interested in finding Tara. Now, this is going to be interesting when he connects the dots that the love of his life, Gemma, is the one who killed Tara. And I feel as though his love for Tara and his quest to do the right thing is going to trump his love for Gemma. And I think ultimately, you know, he'll let Gemma hang for this. I do.
I think so too.
Because it's for Tara, and it's just, it's almost like just the madness has to end.
At the end of the episode, we had Gemma, and we're, you know, thinking that, oh wow, she's actually going to apologize.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Well,
and then,
yeah.
And then in comes Jack,
and then right.
And it's like, finally, she's going to apologize for something, and then boom.
Well, before we get, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about Jax, and he meets with August, and August says, "Yeah, we have to have trust," and they're both going back and forth with trust. But August has a sense Jax is playing him, and Jax kind of doesn't care because he goes behind the scenes and works with Tyler. Now, Tyler's great, by the way. He came in here as I think two seasons ago we had him in. He, great young actor. But I like how he plays it. He plays it as someone really green and a little over his head. And I give credit to either the director or the costume designer because his clothing, do you notice? He's not...
Pinstripe,
right? Thank you. I didn't pick that up. You did. But you notice how Marx is always in a very nice suit. Pope was always dressed very well. Even Chester, who was a wannabe, was in a nice suit. Not quite as coiffed as August, but nice. But Tyler, we've watched him go from more or less dressing like his version of Jax to now he's in a shirt and pants out of jeans. But do you notice it's not form-fitted. It's not the tight black suit that you see a lot of power people wear. It's still as if he really can't fill these shoes. He's been over his head since we've met him, since Pope, since it was either Pope or August Marx said you're in charge, and it's been so long. I forgive me for forgetting who threw him the mantle, but we still see that where he's still a little over his head, a little unsure of himself, and therefore weak and easier to manipulate.
Tyler did figure out that Sam Crow hit the Chinese, though.
You're right. Thank you. You're right. Yeah, he did, but
you
I mean...
You have to think Marx knows, too.
I think Marx does know. And he didn't know. I mean, Tyler didn't know, but when he saw the key is when he said, okay, well, obviously you did. It wasn't hard. I mean, so he figured it out, but it wasn't, I don't think it took a rocket scientist, but you're right. He's not that naive. And we see, of course, Chester gets set up, brought to the place, and just, he's gunned down. And then Borowski meets with Oso and Nero, and then that means, and you know, through another elaborate Jack scheme, all the weak members of the One Niners, through, you know, Jack's advising Tyler, all get mowed down by Nero and Oso. And God, you just feel for Nero because he's pulled into this and doesn't want to be.
Yep.
just continues to not want to be this deep in it.
He was wearing the sunglasses during the hit, which shows a symbol that he was wanted to shield his eyes.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there.
Yep.
And again, it's like, I'm really nervous for Jax to have this ultimate, and I know everyone knows the Oedipus ending is coming.
Right.
Although I had heard in early in interviews where Sutter said, no, I got away from the whole Oedipus thing. That's how it started, but then it mutated into something else. You know, maybe that's just to throw us off. But it seems like, you know, we always talk about in filmmaking that the second to last scene will indicate whether you're going to have a happy ending or a sad ending. So if the second to last scene is a good moment, you're going to more than likely have a sad ending. And if it's a down moment in your act three for your second to last scene, then you're more than likely going to have a happy ending. And I feel like in TV series, you don't have a last, it's not judged by a last, a third act or a last two scenes. It's judged by that last season. And watching Jax pick up all these victories, and they're hollow victories, but he's picking them up, leads me to believe that we are just racing toward some kind of terrible tragedy.
Yep.
And again, that's classic American storytelling, but you never know with Sutter. He may go the other way. We don't know. But it seems like that's the direction we're going to. Speaking about Gemma and Sandy and the father, and she takes the hit to the face, and we talked about the sons and whatnot. We know that she, again, pulls Jax in. I don't know. It's just like, obviously he's going to stick up for his mother, and his mother at that point was sticking up for Sandy, which I get. So it's not one of the times where it's not totally just, but the fact that that's what the mother is kind of going along with, supporting, just not a good example, right?
Right.
And the previous scene, seeing Nero, so question. It just seemed like he was just like, how did I get pulled back into this world, right? Didn't it seem like where he was sitting? I think he was in the kitchen.
Yep, I agree.
Man,
I hope it ends up for. I hope it ends up okay for Nero because Nero's a good guy.
Well, we've had our fans. Some of our fans have reached out and said, "You know what? It could be Nero taking the kids away, starting a new life."
Yeah, and buys his farm like you've been talking about since we first met him.
You know, I had him written off for dead a long time ago. I thought he was going to be caught in the typical crossfire of Gemma. And you know what? Somehow he survived. I thought Unser, too. He had cancer. I thought he was another one. He'd be gone. But Unser's definitely a candidate to give himself for the cause, give his life for the cause, because we know he has cancer. So he's a ticking time bomb. So I feel like he is a candidate to do some kind of grand gesture to save somebody. I feel like Juicy's in that spot too, because he has nobody. I don't see him surviving. But what are your thoughts on that?
I may be scared for Juice now, because did you see the hotel? There was an arrow pointing down on the sign. Could that be symbolism that Juice is going down?
I mean, how much longer can he last?
Right.
Okay.
That arrow pointing down.
Listen, that's a good segue. Probably should take us into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So, you know, looking at the scenes coming up for next week, and they're a little bit cryptic, but it seems like I don't know. The heat is really turned up on Juicy.
Right.
Okay, not a surprise. You think next week he gets it, or he has a little longer to go?
I think he has a little bit more story. I think at least until he tells Jax about Gemma, I think that's going to happen.
You're right. And I think, and God, that was really astute of you. I think he's the one. I mean, that's storytelling-wise, if you're a writer, that's the way to get that message. Because you know Jax has to find out before this is over.
Yeah. Has and to. Did you like the symbolism of Gemma holding the upside-down cake at the end?
Yeah, the upside-down pineapple cake.
Yep.
Yep. And so what did you make of that, symbolism-wise?
I think the world's upside down, and I think Jax is going to find out that, you know, the things he's been doing is for this mother who's doing nothing but lying to him.
Right. It's all been a lie. It's all been a lie. Ah, man. You know, and the truth was he had a great wife, and he had two beautiful kids, and he was a really smart guy, and really was on the right track to get them out of this. And, yeah, and Mom turned the world upside down.
And you see that Gemma wants Juice gone now, too?
No, I did. I must have missed that.
Yeah, she says they got to find this kid and either got to get him out of town. You think that's what she said?
Right. But don't you think it's get him out of town to save him, or do you think it's more to save her?
I think it's to save her.
Yeah,
so
of course.
You can't tell anybody what happened.
Yep. And that's why the show is interesting, because if Gemma were purely, purely, purely evil and twisted, she would have killed Juice, because he is a loose end to her. But he saved her. So, you know, she got to give her that. She's doing right by him. And this is why I think the show's interesting, because the characters aren't black and white. They're gray. Some are darker gray than others. But I think that's an indication of good writing. Because she just should have killed Juicy, because he is a big time loose end to her, big time. So the other thing that I saw is I think Nero's going to get wise. It seems like he's getting wise. He has a couple of quotes, and again, they could be cryptic, they could be thrown toward other people, but some of the things I saw, it seemed like he was saying something. It could have been referred to Jax, basically, that he's become unglued, et cetera, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to wise up that Jax is really out of control. It seems like it. It seems like it.
Yep.
Mike, anything else before you go?
I just want to say that, you know, Jim, Wendy showed good motherly judgment this week in scolding Rat Boy for getting busy.
You know what?
A young girl.
All right. So again, that's maybe someone in this world has a future to save those two kids.
And by the way,
that's right. And you know what? And remember her little bonding with Nero in that drive. You never know. They all drive off to the farm, right? Maybe.
That was subtext for Jax getting the boys in the bad element.
All right.
Gemma did by, you know, punching the father in the face with Abel walking in.
Right. Yeah, that's not the right road to go down to.
Right there.
All right, Mike, how do I find you on Twitter or Instagram?
At Michael August.
Mike, thank you so much for doing this. Fans, once again, I apologize that our rest of our hosts aren't there. I'm sorry, you know, that this wasn't as long as you're used to. We will all be back next week at full force. And I am just, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to live the next 6 days without seeing this show. It's amazing. Thank you, everybody. You can find me at Undergaro and tune in to my AfterBuzz TV Boardwalk Empire after show as well.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.